Welcome to the latest podcast from Prospectus. For those of you who have listened to us before, you will know that we speak with some really interesting and exciting people in the world of purpose and impact about topical issues. Today, we have the real pleasure of welcoming Beth Thoren for a conversation. Beth is Director of Environmental Action at the leading outdoor and lifestyle brand Patagonia, one of the world's most trusted and admired businesses. As Prospectus, Patagonia is also a B Corp. Before joining Patagonia, Beth was Deputy Chief Executive at Client Earth, the environmental charity, and she has held leadership roles at the BBC and Picture House Cinemas, to mention some. Beth has an MBA from Harvard. She is a mechanical engineer and has also worked as a ships engineer. Today, we are going to explore issues around being a responsible business and the role of business in shifting towards net zero to tackle the climate and nature crisis. Welcome, Beth. So Beth, thank you so much for being with us today. And would be really great to start by hearing a bit from you about your career journey and perhaps specifically what made you get into environmental activism.
Great. You know, at the moment I work for a billion-dollar company that its mission is to save our home planet. But I didn't start out that way. I started out as a 21-year-old working for Exxon. That's right, Exxon, the one who hid all the information about the effect of climate change. And I remember at the time when I was working for them, I was so proud because they were the most progressive. You know, they moved fuel from one area of the world to another where it was needed, and they were incredibly professional. I was very proud to be part of them. There was a ship that went aground. It was called the Exxon Valdez. And I'd been there many times. And it was the most beautiful place in the world I'd seen. If you'd asked me what I thought, I'd say, Valdez, Alaska is the most beautiful place in the world. And I was seeing pictures of otters covered in oil. And it was absolutely tragic. And I think the seeds of my questioning started then. And then over the course of my life, the more and more I worked within business, the more and more I felt a need for purpose, and it always came back to the environment. So I worked as a marketing director for about 25 years. And then at one point I thought, enough, I have to use my skill for something that I really believe in. So I started working for NGOs. I transitioned across as a fundraising director, and then I got into operations. And then eventually Patagonia hired me because I had both skills. I had the business skills and a deep understanding of the environment. And that was what was valuable and unique.
And having worked both in the sort of environment or the charity and the business sectors, what are some of the common threads between the two, and perhaps, and also where are some of the differences?
Well, I think it's so much easier to speak about the differences. When you work in the public sector, you know, it's so purpose driven. You're so involved with what happens in the news and what happens in government, and your personal life becomes your work life. When you're working for a business, you have the pride of doing a job well, but you just don't care so much about the outcome. And that's fundamentally the difference. And there are so few businesses that actually bring those things together. Purpose-driven businesses that say they are in business to do more than just make money. And yet all the facts suggest that that is what makes a successful company. The research says that, you know, sales are, you know, 90% more likely to be growth above a non-purpose-driven company. Innovation, 40% higher. All of the performance indicators are that businesses that have purpose perform better. And yet there's only a handful of them. And that's just it's a tragedy, and it doesn't make any sense, particularly when we're in a world that needs purpose-driven organizations.
And do you think there is a move towards businesses becoming more purpose-driven, giving people that meaning, or is that a genuine, we hear a lot about it. Do you think there's a genuine move in that direction?
I think there's a lot of interest. So, you know, B corporations, for example, they're being overwhelmed with applications at the moment, far more than they can manage. So there is, you know, there's genuine movement toward this. And, you know, and then of course you also see a lot of companies talking about it in their advertising. And some of that is real and some of it is greenwashing. Because I think there is a genuine societal zeitgeist, probably driven by COVID, that is making people, and of course the climate crisis, that is making people think we have to do something. So yes, is it changing? Yes. Is it changing fast enough? No.
You found a place where obviously purpose is such a big part of Patagonia and what you do. So let's talk a bit about Patagonia. Tell us a bit about, for those, obviously most people will have an idea about the brand, what you do and so on, but tell us a bit about the business and what makes you really distinctive.
Okay. So I think it's one of the things is that we have a mission statement. Our mission statement is that we are in business to save our home planet. So if you work in finance, you are doing that job to save our home planet. That is wildly different from most organizations. And what you find is it's incredibly authentic. I do talk to people in accounting and that is what they think. And that is really mission driving into everybody's single job role. We have the highest reputation of any corporation in the world, absolute number one in the world. And that, and I think that's come out of sort of 50 years worth of relentlessly working on our footprint to minimize it, caring for our workers all around the world, and campaigning for the planet. And that sometimes means taking really unpopular positions that go against the grain and that aren't easy. But what happens is that our customers and our allies, and our allies are far bigger than our customers, see us as being incredibly authentic. So that's the kind of company that we are.
And I was curious about your mission statement because I think you've changed it quite recently, haven't you?
Yes.
To we're in business to save our home planet. And you talked a little bit there about sort of the impact internally and everybody feels it, but how does it generally impact on how you do your business? For example, I can imagine, in one way you're in the business of selling products, so consumerism, and then other way you want to save the planet. So how does that impact how you work internally? That sort of, is that a tough sort of, is there a conflict and how do you work with that?
Yes, absolutely, there is a conflict. You know, I think we have to realize that with every single jacket that we sell, we're contributing to the problems of the world. So that is a fundamental challenge, and you have to be super honest with yourself about that and then think, well, what do you do about that? How do you then minimize the impact of that jacket that you sell? And when you think about like an individual employee's experience, particularly, you know, my colleagues who, like, for example, the director of our e-commerce business, she says that she looks at every decision twice. She's what will maximize the profit, then which is the right thing to do for the world. And she says it's incredibly frustrating because she can't move as fast as she wants to, but she's also incredibly proud because she's making the decisions that are the right decisions for the world. And that's, you know, like, for example, minimizing the size of your line so that you minimize waste. And, you know, countless other examples of how everybody's constantly making these choices to minimize the impact. And the other thing I'd say about it is when you have those dual things that holding that tension within your head, it drives innovation. You know, we were one of the first organizations to go into, you know, looking at selling secondhand clothes. And we've done repair work forever, but now we're, you know, we were the first to move into that. Now everybody's following it. But we were like, how do you do this in a way? How do you sell stuff in a way that minimizes your impact? And then a lot of our product innovation has gone global and, you know, is being used by companies all around the world. And that is what that tension between doing the right thing and making money does. And it's you know, I think the amazing thing about Patagonia that makes me so proud to work here is that we show that it is possible to do both, that you don't have to like have a business whose only purpose is to make money. You can be profitable and do both. And the amazing thing about it is that, you know, we're growing two or three times faster than any other outdoor supplier, a supplier of outdoor. You know, yes, outdoor is growing as a sector. We're growing faster because we have an ethics. And that's what's so powerful. And I, and that is the story that needs to be told. And that is, you know, that is the model I wish the rest of the world would follow. But they're being quite slow about it.
Things take time, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think you're obviously being very transparent about some of your challenges as well. I think I read on your website that 80% of your emissions actually come from your supply chain rather than from your own business, as it were. So that must be tough to actually. So how do you actually deal with that kind of challenge?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one of the things that we're really careful. We don't use that. We don't ever call ourselves a sustainable company because it's impossible to be sustainable and still sell stuff. We're a responsible company. We try to do the right thing. So it's actually sort of 95% that comes from our supply chain. We've pretty much sorted out all of our operations. Oh. So that's, you know, all renewable, but the supply chain's the problem. And this is where you get into, you know, how do you actually do this? How do you manage this? And you realize that actually, you know, if you're a tiny buyer, Patagonia is quite big, but relative to some of the factories we work in and relative to competitors like Nike or some of those huge brands, we're absolutely tiny. And so when we ask a factory to say, have put in fair trade practices, they laugh at us because we're too small. And when we ask them to put renewables on, they're going, nah. So we, you know, what we have to do is we have to then go around to find all the suppliers at the factory, get them around a table and work with them and say, you know, this is how we can do this. We can sort of set up a funding mechanism around carbon credits and credit for this factory to sort of turn it over. It's a heck of a lot of work. But I think that there's a couple of principles there. And, you know, like when you think about the climate crisis is one, don't bullshit. You know, you have to acknowledge that where is your emissions coming from? Don't try to offset it. You have to work on yourself and sort your emissions out. And two, you can't do it alone. You have to collaborate with other businesses. And I guess the third point about it is that even then, the system is against us. And that's why we as businesses need to jointly use our voice to speak to government, because some of the systems need to change in order for us to be able to cut the emissions in the way that we're supposed to.
And what's the role of, you talk about a system there, and what do you see as the role of business in partnership with government or next to government and other parts, civil society in some way? Where does business sit in this kind of drive to solve the climate crisis?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, on the one hand, it's good in that a lot of the more responsible businesses are working really hard on sorting themselves out and doing what Patagonia is doing and looking at their supply chain and working really, really hard on that. And that's the first step. And that's really fantastic. But I think the real, when you look at the interface of government and business, businesses only engage with government when they've got a vested interest. So if you really want to change and have, you know, if you're interested in fossil fuels, you want the government to spend more on fossil fuels and subsidize what you do, you invest a lot in lobbying. Most responsible businesses go about their lives and don't comment on government policy unless it directly relates to their business. And I think what's happening is that the climate crisis is changing that need, because responsible businesses are going, oh my God, we cannot do this. We are not going to have a stable society in which to operate unless government does something, and they're not, and they're being held capture by these vested interests. And so there's a real need for businesses to start speaking out, and that's not happening at the moment. Mm. But you know, if I could make one plea to the listeners, it would be, don't be silent. Governments listen to business. Business has a voice, needs to use it.
So sort of activist businesses and sort of an activist capitalism.
Activist, absolutely. Activist capitalism. You know, we need to ask for what we need. And, you know, we can ask for stuff that's good for society and good for our business. And having a stable planet and a stable society is essential for our businesses.
And I guess what you show is that you can be a responsible business, as you say, even if it's not perfect. And
yes.
I think perhaps the barrier for some might be they think, well, what's the point? Because I can't do everything. So, but you can do something.
I think that's right. And, you know, Patagonia made a decision to work on the environment, but there are some businesses that work on women and rights of girls, which mm-hmm. is fantastic. Some people work on their local community. Just pick a bloody purpose and do it. You know, that's, I think, and, you know, in terms of a mission, and then, you know, on the climate crisis, sort your climate, you know, use your voice and, you know, fight for a stable society.
And we hear a lot, we just had COP26, and before that we had the Paris Agreement, and sort of what do you see, and what's the view of in your company around the role of business in terms of achieving some of those goals, so limiting temperature increases and so on? Obviously we're listening to this around World Environment Day, so that's sort of in the forefront of our minds.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, we know that, you know, if we get up to 2 degrees, we're going to lose all the coral reefs. You lose the coral reefs, you lose the fish, you got people starving all around the world. So, you know, going up to 2 degrees is not an option. And so, you know, what can businesses do? And I think the most important thing is to not greenwash. There are some really simple things you need to do. One is that you need to have a science-based target. That's a target that is in line with Paris. And that means that you will be having your emissions by 2030 and virtually eliminating them by 2050. That is absolutely what you must do in order to be credible. A lot of companies are offsetting and they're saying, okay, we're going to invest a lot in nature and that will offset and we can keep emitting as much as we want. That is absolutely unacceptable, you know, because the nature can't offset, you know, A, it doesn't solve the underlying problem, and B, you know, those offsets are not in any way accurate, and, you know, they're not long-term either. So we should be protecting nature. We must be protecting nature because that's 30% of the solution to our crisis. But you cannot do that without also aggressively cutting your emissions.
And you are your job title is Director of Environmental Activism, is that right?
Environmental Action.
Action, not activism, action. So what does that actually mean? Sort of over and above then what you do is a business with your products. Is there anything else in your line, in your job that?
Yeah, well, I mean, what, you know, from early on when this company was founded, in addition to working on the on our footprint and minimizing our footprint, we invested 1% of our earnings into grassroots NGOs. And, you know, with the idea that they would be fighting to protect the planet. So again, it's a different way of using our voice. And so part of my job is to support NGOs or non-for-profits that are working in the sphere of the environment. And particularly, we're looking at climate change and nature protection. And the other thing that we do is actually use our voice as a business, our marketing. And so what we do is we create campaigns. So we have fought for the Viosa National Park, which is the longest undammed river in Europe. It goes on for 300 kilometers and goes through Albania, trying to turn that into a national park. So we have at least one undammed river of that scale and size in Europe. So that's something that we're working on. Another thing that we're working on is something called community energy, which is a way where communities can buy a wind farm or put up solar panels, and then they get the financial benefit from that. And what that does is make them much more open to wind farms or to renewables. And it actually gives more money into local communities so that they can address energy poverty and other problems. So that's another thing that we're pushing really hard. And I think actually businesses can have a big role in that because they can buy their energy from community energy suppliers. They can offer their roofs so that there's a place to put the solar panels. They can work with their communities and get really connected in their communities and have cheaper energy. So it's a kind of win-win, particularly in the current energy crisis that we're in. And so that's something that we're trying to drive awareness of and help people realize.
That's amazing. And I can imagine you could then bring communities and businesses closer together.
Exactly.
So it's a win-win situation. And I guess to those listening, do you have, what would be your call to action? What would you encourage business leaders, charity leaders, others to do to really contribute to the solutions we need to find?
I'm going to say it. We need you to speak out. What you do individually absolutely matters, but more importantly, we need you to speak out and use your voice. So use the leverage that you have to demand the change you need.
Super. Thank you.